Hey there, Beyond the Uniform listeners. This is Justin with an in-between episode. This will be going out, let's see, May 11th on Saturday. And if you missed me last Saturday, I broke the trend of these Saturday in-between episodes. I was at a five-day men's retreat, which is what I wanted to delve into. But one admin item first. Actually, two admin items. First one is we are doing a live panel. We have not done this in over a year, but a live panel, that is sponsored by Amgen, courtesy of Steve Bain, on Wednesday, June 19th. We specifically put it that far out so we'd have enough time to promote this and maximize participation. June 19th, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. You can register through our newsletter or through the website, and it's going to be a live panel. Three different people from Amgen. They all have three different backgrounds in the military. They have three different paths to Amgen. They have three different roles at Amgen. So it's a great look, regardless of your industry of interest. It's a great look at just starting to get conversant about different titles, different roles, different advice that's applicable to any career. But also it's a great dive into the biotech space and Amgen in particular. And selfishly, would love to see you there for two reasons. First of all, it's a video panel. 45 minutes moderated by me, 45 minutes open Q&A. So it'll be a good chance to put some voices and faces behind many of you who listen. And second of all, I'm really wanting to do this more often. The way that this works transparently is that a company like Amgen will actually pay Beyond the Uniform to do this sort of dedicated format. And if it works well, we're going to do a lot more of these. And basically, as I'm getting recommendations now, I'm trying to think of how to incorporate this into some sponsorship opportunity just to offset some of the costs that Beyond the Uniform incurs, as well as to give us more budget to start doing. We want to start doing Facebook ads and other things to expand our audience and our impact. And these things help. So would encourage you to sign up. If you're not able to make it at that time, sign up. You'll get a copy of the video once it's done. So encourage you to check that out, which leads me to admin point number two, which is our newsletter. And if you haven't, if you go to the website, you'll get this pop-up that is annoying and is incredibly effective at growing our newsletter base. Put your email in there. We only send two emails a month, and it's a great way. There's a lot of great free stuff in there, a lot of discount codes, promo codes. It'll just keep you in the loop, and that's the primary mechanism that we're using to digitally correspond with people outside of the podcast. Okay, so that is done. I'm going to spend the bulk of the episode, actually the rest of the episode, talking about this men's retreat that I just went on. If you have not listened to episode 262 about men's groups, check that out. It will give you a little bit more foundation. I'm learning that most of you listen to every single episode, so I'm not going to waste your time by recapping that. So this weekend, was my first time away from my son, Bodie, who's 3 months old. That was an experience in and of itself, especially when I got back home. But the thing was, I flew out on Wednesday from Denver to Medford, Oregon, met up with a couple guys. We drove an hour and 45 minutes south to a little town called McLeod, which is nestled in the shadow of Mount Shasta. And Thursday morning until late Sunday night was with a group of 50 guys who are in this year-long program with me. It is with John Wineland, who I have a lot of respect for, even more so after the weekend. It's called the Embodied Men's Leadership Training. So 50 guys in that program. We meet pretty much every week or every other week for a Zoom video conference call. We have small groups. We have lots of homework assignments. And we have three different weekends just like this where we get together in person for a lot more intensive practicing. And there was about 30 members of who were not a part of the year-long program who joined us as well. So about 80 guys in total. And age was probably 24 years old to, I think the oldest guy was about 65 or 75 years old. And mostly probably, most of the people I'm guessing were my age. I'm just turned 39 3 days ago. And I wanted to just kind of share five different takeaways that I had from the weekend. And was just trying to figure out the right appropriate level of detail to share. So I'll kind of bounce around on five different topics that may be relevant to you. So the first thing that I took away, it was just a reminder of the value of getting out of my comfort zone. And in particular, the value of being in a safe spot. The phrase that I like that resonates is a container. And by that, I mean that the organizers of the event really meticulously put together a very safe, structured environment that allowed us to open up, be vulnerable, and go a lot deeper in our personal growth work. And so for me, it was just a value. It was a reminder of the value of getting out of your comfort zone. And I think that that's difficult to really do outside of an in-person experience. Some of the things that I've done that have been outside of my comfort zone is I did a year-long training called Nonviolent Communication. I've done a bunch of Tony Robbins events, Date with Destiny, which was featured on Netflix's documentary, I'm Not Your Guru. He also has a weekend event called Unleash the Power Within. He has a exorbitantly expensive business mastery conference that I went to as well. All of those were out of my comfort zone. All of those were massively rewarding. I've done silent meditation retreats, which were outside of my comfort zone. I've done a thing called the Landmark Forum that was outside of my comfort zone. All of these in-person events, it's kind of like a psychological boot camp, I would call them, where they are, you're out of your day-to-day environment. You're around people that you wouldn't normally associate with different backgrounds, and you're doing things that are very, sometimes very different than what you normally do in life. And the impact for me in doing that is to really shock my system, get me out of a rut, view things differently, have some mental breakthroughs, not breakdowns, not quite, but breakthroughs, epiphanies, realizations, insights. And if you choose the right program, you can really go deep. And I view it as like just getting, hundreds of hours of experience within a very short time period. So that was the first thing that I took away. The second thing that I took away was how nourishing it is to be around men who are on a mission, men who are doing something great in the world. And I would, obviously extend that to men and women, but because this was a men-only group, I just realized like that male interaction holds a special compartment in my life. There is a value there. I think there's a tremendous value to inclusive events with both sexes, but I think there's also a lot of value as a man to spend time just with men. And I know with my wife, she'll do things with just with women. I think it just kind of nourishes us in a different way. But from the get-go of landing, I landed. We had 3 hours until our car, the driver of our group arrived, and I walked 3 miles with another guy into Medford. We had an incredible experience along the way of just sharing different stories and kind of swapping advice and our own experiences and journeys. And from that moment onwards, it was like, man, I didn't realize how hungry I was to be around men who are doing deep work. And the way that I mean that is I get very fatigued. Most of my interaction with people, again, I work from home. Most of my interaction when I'm out and about, it's very superficial. And even with friends and family, it can become about, what is happening in the day-to-day, which nothing wrong with that. But there's a part of me that craves to go deeper and to talk about things that are really meaningful. And that's not always positive either. And if you listen to that men's group episode 262, I shared a little bit more about that. But I think there's a lot of power in being vulnerable with men that you respect, opening up about things that you're afraid of, things that you're worried about, things that you're disappointed at, things that you struggle with, and sharing that and hearing as well. And I think there's a normalizing aspect of realizing that so much of what makes us feel isolated and singular is just part of the universal human experience. And so my second takeaway was just the incredibly nourishing aspect of being immersed in an environment with people who have similar values and very, very different backgrounds. The 50 guys in my group, I am very much an oddity and amongst 49 other oddities. So I'm not trying to make this out to be like hanging out with like-minded people in the sense that we all believe everything the same. I think I had very different beliefs on many subjects with many of these people, but we shared values of committed to becoming the best men that we can possibly be. And yeah, really committed to what I view as courageous work of facing the areas that we struggle, facing, you know, a word that works for me may not work for you, but facing our wounds, things that we have had happen to us in our lives or things that we have done that have just kind of done some damage to us and we need to heal from and overcome. And so that was the second takeaway. A third takeaway is just kind of a little bit more about a lot of the work that we did. And I won't go into a tremendous amount of detail of the types of things we were doing, but a lot, I would say 60% of the exercises, and it was emotionally and physically exhausting. It was 9 a.m. until 11 p.m. most days, and just most every second of that time was utilized very efficiently. It was very well organized. But a lot of the work was around breathing and grounding, and it was particularly interesting. If you listen to one of my previous Saturday episodes, I talked about an episode that I still think a lot about, which is called Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins, a Navy SEAL, prior Air Force person as well. But you know, from that, I gain a lot of encouragement to physically push myself beyond my boundaries. He talks about, you know, most of us are operating at 40% of our capacity, and you build that capacity by pushing past pain. And I think there's a lot of value there. But I think that this work that I was doing this week was different in the sense of experiencing a lot of physical discomfort and consciously working on remaining open in that discomfort. So I'll give you a tangible example. Multiple times we would do an exercise similar to this where we would stand, and if you've done yoga, stand in a horse pose or a tree pose. Let's just say tree pose. So your legs are hip width apart, your toes are facing forward, your knees are bent, so you're dipping down about 4 to 5 inches. So your quads are really engaged, like you feel your quads, you know, pretty tight. And then we would stand, you know, man, this must sound so hippie for those of you that are on active duty, but we would stand, if you can picture, kind of hugging a tree. So your arms are out parallel to the ground, out making like a circle. And we would stand like that for 20 to 30 minutes. And part of that, and you know, while we're doing that, we're being led through a breathing exercise and a practice of setting our intention for what our, you know, what we want to accomplish in our life. And also just kind of feeling emotionally feeling the people around you who are committed to this purpose and feeling that, you know, you're not alone, and consciously trying to keep your heart open. And that's where I think it's interesting with this Can't Hurt Me book, where, you know, when I go to that place running or things like that, it really is closing in and pushing through in a space where I'm like gritting my teeth and pushing myself as much as possible. And I think there's a value there. But it was a really different experience to be physically very discomforting. Like your legs are shaking, your arms are shaking, like you just want to drop your hands, you want to stand up straight, you want to move. And it's like, can you remain open in that moment? Can you continue to keep your heart open? Can you continue to stay present with that discomfort? I start to realize how much I collapse, how much I close in those experiences. Something is, I experience discomfort and I want to close up. I want to escape. I want to get away. Most pointedly, I think many men in the group would agree with this. The training that it brings to mind is being with my partner, with my wife, Rebecca, when maybe she's angry or upset or sad, and especially anger, right? If she's expressing anger towards me, there is a part of me that wants to run away. There's a part of me that wants to close up or shut down and get angry at her. And I believe this work translates to exactly that. We're like simulating that. Okay, my wife, the person I love most on the face of the planet, is angry at me. She's displeased with me. All right, can I stand there and not just tune her out? Can I stand there and keep my heart open? Can I stand there and remain connected to her? And I know that sounds weird, but it really does work. And it's it's a kind of a Mr. Miyagi type moment where you're going through these like really ridiculous and absurd exercises, and then you start to see the value of them. You start to see the wax on, wax off practicality of these things. And that's what I mean by being out of my comfort zone. If you can picture, and in some of these exercises, you would be standing a few feet across from another man, looking into their eyes and holding each other accountable. No words spoken, but like looking into their eyes and in your mind, cheering them on. And using that as leverage of like, okay, I want to drop my arms, but I'm looking in your eyes, like I'm not going to let you down. I'm going to stay there for you. And I think you can imagine that the impact of that as well, of building up that muscle of resilience and doing it in service of someone else. So that was a third takeaway, is just kind of the importance of practice. And this is something I'm doing with these other men every single day. And that's, I love that word. You know, it is a daily practice. It is a daily exercise to build up not a physical muscle, but an emotional muscle of remaining present, remaining grounded, remaining open. A fourth takeaway that I had was around accountability. And this is actually a little bit more relevant. Well, it was relevant during the weekend, but leading up to the weekend, when we first started this group about a month ago, one of the guys threw out to the group, and he shared a personal story from his life of someone he had lost to alcoholism. And he said, you know, every year on the anniversary of this person's death, I make a pledge of austerity. And the just a quick side note, I really like this quote, which is like, men find their purpose through challenge and austerity. And by that, I interpret that to mean challenge, you know, physically pushing ourselves, taking on something that scares us, doing something that causes us to be warriors. And then austerity is really giving up, living the Spartan lifestyle, giving things up that stripping comfort out of our lives. So this man threw out to the group and he said, hey, I'm doing this austerity challenge. Let me know if you want to join me for the next 2 months. And I did. It spoke to me, and I threw out to him a laundry list of things that I was committing to giving up for the next 2 months. And I won't share all of those things, but some of them are things like I'm not listening to the news. It's something I find a distraction right now and activates a part of me that's around fear and anger that I don't want in my life. I'm giving up mindlessly checking my phone. I'm giving up certain foods and sugar and things like that. So what I wanted to share, though, was not the austerity challenge, but the importance of accountability. And now going on 3 or 4 weeks into this challenge, I know without a shadow of a doubt, I would have quit or cheated after 3 days, probably 3 or 4 days. Especially some of these things I'm giving up are very, very difficult for me. And I'm learning a lot about myself through that, sitting with that discomfort. But I'm very cognizant of the power of accountability. Literally the fact that I have other men doing this with me, I don't want to let them down. I don't want to have to admit to them that I broke. And I'm realizing the leverage, at least for me, the leverage that this brings, that when I make a commitment publicly and with other people who are doing the same thing or something similar, it gives me leverage, it gives me more power to accomplish that. And I used that over the weekend. There were a couple of things that I realized I wanted to shift in my life. And I found other people who struggled with the same thing, and we made a commitment. And I'll share one with you specifically next. But I just wanted to share that for those of you who are wanting to make a change physically, with alcohol, with anger, with working out more, with whatever it is, being on time more, which is probably not a problem for people listening to this, but whatever that is, if you can enlist, not someone close to you that you can cheat on easily, you know, if you have a best friend who has struggles with the same thing, you guys might both just give each other an excuse to cheat or not work out or whatever it is. But if you can find someone you respect who's willing to do something similar, I think you'll find it gives you a big, it's like drafting, it's like wind behind your back. It really gives you an extra edge. And then the last thing is one of the challenges that I took on, and I'll share a little bit more of my personal life on this, is for many of you who had listened to a podcast I did a while back about a career change, I would just say, you know, I just turned 39. I'm kind of at a point in my life, and I feel like I've had this periodically where I'm taking a step back to reassess what I want my life to look like and what my values are. And a lot of the changes that I've made have been incredibly powerful. I feel like my work life is so much more aligned with who I am. And I've had multiple people comment about how much more relaxed I feel, how much happier I am. And it's been very true. I feel like I've created a work life that is very much in alignment with who I am and what I want for myself and my family. I feel very proud of that. But one component that's missing is a very strong sense of purpose. And the realization that I've had is that I've been fortunate to build up a company and to build up a couple streams of income where I don't have to work 80 hours a week to provide a decent life for my family. I think that if I were to work, let's just say 20 hours a week, 30 hours a week, I think I could provide my family with a very comfortable life. We're not going to be flying on private jets. We're not going to be buying up real estate. But the things that matter to us, time together and healthy food and the things that matter to us, I can account for. And the question that has been in my mind for honestly probably over a year now is what to do with that extra time. And I was able to work with John Wineland, who runs this group. He's extremely gifted, and I would encourage you to check out some of his videos on YouTube. But what I shared with him is what I'll share with you, which is, you know, there is part of me that wants to use that time to create more wealth. And, you know, when I think of that, there's part of me that I'm like, yeah, that actually feels pretty good, because when I think of going out and earning more and achieving more, It calls forth this part of me, this inner warrior that wants to go out and conquer. And it's an aspect of myself that I'm actively trying to cultivate. And so when I think of creating a lofty revenue goal or lofty income goal, it really charges me up in a way where I'm like, that's the person I want to be. So maybe I should do that. And there's this other part of me that also just kind of asks, you know, what is the point of it? Right, I've seen from my classmates from Stanford, people who have achieved hundreds of millions of dollars of wealth. I've seen Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain in the same week committing suicide. Extreme fame, extreme wealth, and yet not fulfillment or happiness by their actions, at least it would seem. And so there's this questioning of like, when does it end, right? I've seen this play out enough times that I know that more money is not necessarily the answer. And so that's one part, like maybe to use that time for more wealth creation. And then there's this other part that says, okay, maybe it's more about finding more ways to grow personally, to do more work like this where I'm learning more about myself. And maybe there is this way to do some more contribution. Like I think, okay, I feel some sort of a calling to contribute more in the world, to help more people and to have a bigger impact and to serve more. And I realize in many ways how I've been afforded so much more than many people on this planet. Just by from birth, I was given so much more. I was born into an incredible country and a family where my parents remained married and made a good living. I've been so benefited in so many ways. I have so much privilege that it makes me want to give more. And there's a book called The Way of the Superior Man, which if you read, I would give a couple caveats, but it's a powerful book. And the author, David Data, talks about how important it is for a man to have purpose. And he also talks about how purpose comes in layers, where you'll find a purpose that will serve you for a while, and then you'll find a deeper purpose and a deeper purpose, almost like layers of an onion. And he also talks about there are periods of time where your purpose is not knowing your purpose. And, you know, again, talking about discomfort, talking about enduring, there are aspects of not having a purpose that's very uncomfortable for me. I think that especially coming from the military, I want to have a mission. I want to have a purpose. I want to have an identity. And in working with John, and this is, you know, in front of the 80 guys, we're literally walking through this. He's asking me questions. And in working with him, the illustration he gave that I found a powerful metaphor is they say that the lotus flower blooms in the mud. You know, or just, it doesn't matter what type of flower, but this image of a flower blooming amidst all this mud. And the challenge he gave to me is, you know, do you have the courage and the dedication to sit in the mud, to not know what your purpose is, and to not distract yourself? And by that, specifically, he gave me the challenge that I've taken on, which is to take 2 hours, 5 days a week, to metaphorically sit in the mud. And by that, it's literally I'll have a notebook, and I'll sit outside or in my house, and I will turn off my phone, and I will sit there for 2 hours and do nothing. And it's a very meaningful exercise to me because I am the king of distraction. I've got no shortage of things to do. So right now, and for the last year, when I have time, it's very easy for me to edit a Beyond the Uniform podcast or play with a new business idea or read a book or help a friend or do more work. And there's nothing wrong with any of those things, but it's more of the awareness that I'm using each of them in a way as a distraction. And so that commitment is really intimidating for me to sit and do nothing and to have the notebook and maybe as I start to get ideas to jot down notes, but not using even the note-taking as a distraction, not making it into a two-hour journaling session, because that in and of itself is doing something else. But it's creating an intention to discover a deeper purpose and the openness to, you know, however you want to view it, God, the universe, fate, myself, my inner wisdom, however you want to view that, making more space for that. And it's particularly powerful for me as well, because I've realized in the last couple of months, I'm like, I make a fair amount of space to learn from others. I listen to podcasts, I listen to audiobooks, I read books, I watch videos, I do personal groups work, personal growth work, men's groups. And even through Beyond the Uniform, I get to meet twice a week with incredible human beings to learn from them. I have started to view this as a form of mentorship for me and for you as well. And the thing I realized is I do a good job of listening to others and learning from them, but I don't create much space to listen to myself. And I want to honor myself and the wisdom that I have, and I want to give more space to listen to myself. And I am doing more journaling as a part of doing that, but I view this 2 hours of sitting in the mud as setting that intention of I want to listen to myself more. I want to trust my intuition more. I want to give myself more white space, more free space to think, to learn, to discover. And it's something I've committed to for over 2 months now, the next 2 months of just setting that time aside. And I'll, I plan to share with you what I learned through that process, but I'm excited about that. And just to kind of relate back to that other point that I made on accountability, there were two other men this weekend who came up to me afterwards and like, thank you for sharing. I'm in a similar spot and I'm struggling in a similar way. And I would love to quote unquote, sit in the mud with you on this journey. And so we've got a text chain right now. I was texting with the guys today. One of them went, he's easing into it with an hour a day, and he was at the beach, and he texted, and I got encouraged, right? I'm like, man, that guy's going after it. Awesome. And I went and bought a new notebook, and I texted the guys. I'm like, okay, I got my mud journal. And it's cheering each other on, right? I'm sure everyone listening to this relates to that sense of teamwork and camaraderie. It's just leveraging that. It's just all mind games. It's what can I do to activate different parts of myself? So those were the five takeaways I had. I hope this helps you. I appreciate those of you who have dropped me a note and let me know that these sorts of episodes are helpful. If they're not, you're probably not listening, so no worries. But if you've made it this far, gritting your teeth and bearing it, know that Monday, Thursday, we'll stick to the same old tried and true format. But I'll try to keep up the Saturday episodes of just kind of sharing whatever's topical and top of mind. And as you write to me, it'll give me more fodder to know what to talk about. But have a great week and have a wonderful Mother's Day. Rebecca is experiencing her first Mother's Day as a mother. And I'm doing some heavy lifting for Bodhi to make sure that's a good experience. But hope you guys and gals enjoy that. And for those of you listening who are mothers, happy Mother's Day to you. And see you on the next podcast. And hopefully on that Amgen Live seminar soon. Take care.